great to be back in the studio again. I was trying to count up how many years I used to come here every, just like you guys, every couple of weeks to come to the studio. And I think I started coming when I was 14, and I come for a good 10 seasons straight. So I know the hall quite well, and it's good to see so many people that I don't know, because it shows that even though I'm not here, now that the work of the studio is still going on. And it's great to see us out, because you know you could be doing so many different things on a Saturday night. You know, you could be watching The Voice or something. So I don't look as weird as Will I am, and I can't sing as well as Kylie, but hopefully you can listen to me. But when I was saying to my dad, I said I'm going to talk at the studio tonight, and he was like, "Listener," because to him that's how older people pronounce it. If you're over the age of 55, they say it the old country way, which is like "listener," just like. They just miss out the whole middle bit. They just get the lis and the er. But to me, it's just stuta, like I say. So it's good to be back in the stir again, regardless of how you pronounce it. But tonight, I was asked to come, and I was asked to just talk about what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? And quite simply, a Christian is somebody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. Somebody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And you say to me, you go, okay, well, if I'm a Christian and I'm a follower, but what does a follower actually mean? What does a follower do? Well, it says in the dictionary, because I looked it up, because I didn't know, it says to accept as a guide or leader, accept the authority of or give allegiance to, to conform to, comply with, or act in accordance with. And the last word, especially, it says this, when you look up what is a follower, it says to obey. Obey. And to be a Christian, you must obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian. And whenever I started, I went to this training weekend one time, and we were doing how to go out and witness to other people. And the guy I was with, he said, you know, you can present the gospel in 5 seconds, or to what it is to be a Christian in 5 seconds. And if I was to do that tonight, it'd be a really short meeting. All right? It'd be really short indeed. But he said this is what it was, okay? And it says, God loves us. We blew it, everyone. Christ paid for it, and you must receive him. That's what it means to be a Christian. God loves us, we blew it. Christ paid for it, and we must receive him. And we're just going to look at that phrase, and we're going to pick out the 4 main words tonight, alright? This isn't a 4-point sermon. I'm not a preacher or a teacher, so I won't keep you too long. But we're just going to look at 4 words, and that is God, us, Christ, and you. Just those 4 words. And we're going to explore and see what these 4 words have to say with regards to being a Christian. So please, if you could turn in your Bible with you, if you have one tonight. And we're just going to look up 4 verses of Scripture. Just 4 verses of Scripture. And if we have our Bibles there, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Firstly, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. And it says there in Isaiah 6 and 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If we turn then to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says there, in God's word, now this isn't what I have to say, this is what God has to say. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now if we flick back to John chapter 14 and the verse 6, John 14 and the verse 6, and it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And in our last reading, same book, John chapter 3, and verse 16. You all maybe possibly know it already. One of the most well-known verses of Scripture in God's Word. And it says there in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now you'd be glad to know that's all I'll ask you to look up. Just those four verses. And those four verses really, when you look at them, the first verse talks about God. Second verse talks about us. Third verse talks about Christ. And the fourth verse talks about you. And tonight, you know, I don't know everybody here. What does it mean to be a Christian? I know some of you are Christians. I don't know others. Maybe tonight you could be coming into the Stutter. And I think it's the 1st of March. And you'd be coming into the Stutter and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. And you could be walking out that door, that latch door, and you could be a Christian tonight. Do you realize, you know, every time that you go to a meeting and you're not saved, or you're not a Christian, that's a chance for God to speak to you. Now, you know, maybe he's been speaking to you in your life, maybe throughout your whole life. Maybe he speaks to you every time you're in a meeting. Maybe every time you're there, you feel God talking to you and you just keep resisting him. But tonight maybe is the night that you're going to accept him as your Savior and you're going to become a Christian. And I would love that, and everybody would love that in the Stutter. But you know, you shouldn't put it off becoming a Christian, because as we'll find out in a little while, you know, it's very, very dangerous, because God does not always strive with you, and God may just dust his hands with you and he may say, well, a person is lost because I have pleaded with them to come and they haven't. So I pray, if you're not saved tonight, just please listen and understand, because this is so, so important. This is the greatest gift. What does it mean to be a Christian? It is the greatest gift. It is the gift of God, because it gives you eternal life. But firstly, we'll look at the first word that I talked about, God. Who is God? And what is God? Sometimes it's very hard to understand who God is. And it's very understandable because we've never seen him. And you know, it's hard to know who he is. But in the Bible, it gives us everything that we need to know about who God is. God is loving and holy and a just God. It says in Ephesians 2 and 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." God loves each and every one of us. He created each and every one of us. He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Because even in Psalm 18 and 31, it even asks the question, "For who is God save the Lord, or who is my rock save our God?" But in Isaiah 42 and 8, this is what it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." You see, God will not bow down to another. And as humans, we were created to bow down to the Lord. That is why we were created. Because you see, God made the world. God made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Some people say that God, you know, it wasn't God, it was evolution. But in the Bible, it's so clear. Genesis 1 and 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And that was everything that you see today, everything physically. And he didn't build it with his hands, he just spoke it. Because that is how wonderful and how powerful God is. Because God can do those things. Because it says in Romans 1 and 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That means that whenever you look at the world, you can see that it was made by God. You know, whenever you look at the sky or a sunset, and you see how it's like, it just looks like painted by a picture. That's just God, doesn't it? It's not like, you know, everything's to do with the weather, and yes, we have the weather to bring us rain and whatever, but it's God that does those things, because God is so awesome and powerful, and God is to be worshipped and to be exalted and to be glorified, because God is God and God is good. And that's God, and that's who he is. But then when we think about us, and I mean us, everyone here tonight, collectively, everybody here. Well, you see, us, if you go way back to Genesis, we were created good. You see, God made the world, And then he created man. And he put man in this like paradise called the Garden of Eden. And he gave man like everything that he would want. And man just, you know, he gave Adam, who was the first man, he gave Adam all the jobs like to name the animals and to just be in the garden. And then he gave him a wife. And that was Eve. And they were like in this paradise. This Garden of Eden was like a wonderful place. And God said to Adam, he said, look, you can have all these things, but you must not eat of the tree of good and evil. You must not eat of that tree, but you can have everything else that's in this garden. And that was okay. And Adam communed with God, and he went on. But then the serpent came, and it came to Eve. And Eve, he said to Eve, you know, you can eat of this tree, this fruit, and you know, you'll have all this wisdom. And Eve took of the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave to Adam. And as soon as Adam ate of that fruit, that is where sin entered into the world. Because it says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all die. You see, because Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, sin was passed upon all men, not just them two. Because that's what it says. Wherefore, by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. All men. That just doesn't mean that it's just for them, it's for everyone. That's why we die. You see, whenever that happened, that's when Adam began to die. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. And because of that sin, well, that sin means that we have offended God. And God is offended. Because what did they say at the start? That God, he shouldn't bow down to anything else but God. God should be glorified and exalted. And it is our chief end to glorify him. But because of sin, we are separated from God. And Adam was cast out of Eden. And he was then separated from God. You see, our sin in our lives, it separates us from God. And you say, but Kyle, I'm a really good person. You know, I go to church all the time and I give like my money to charity and all. And like, you know, I'm really good. But define good in the world. You know, what is good? We look around our world and there's so much death and killings. And that is because of sin. And we all do it. You know, we can lie and we can do those things. And we think of, the Ten Commandments. And, you know, we say, but I'm all right, you know, because I haven't killed anybody. But, you know, we probably have all coveted something. You know, somebody gets a new bike and you go, it's really sweet there. Or somebody gets their driving test before you and you go like, man, I just wish I had my driving test before them. You know, that's just coveting. That's as bad as killing somebody in God's eyes. And that sin, it separates us from God. Because it says in Isaiah, verse 59 and 2, but your iniquities, that's sin. That's sin. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. You see, it doesn't matter what you do in your sin, you will always be separated from God. Because like I read in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, that's everybody, has come short. Do you know what to come short means? It just means that you try to reach your goal, but you just don't get there. You just come short. You reached out to grab it and you just didn't make it. You know, tonight, I don't want you to reach out for Christianity, to be a Christian, and to miss. Because that means that you're lost in sin forever. And you will be separated from your sin. You see, we're dead in our sins. It's what we're just worth because of our sin in our lives. We're not worth anything. Because, you know, it says we are dead in our sins and we cannot please God. But it says in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. So what's your wages, right? You work all week and, you know, you earn your wage and you get it at the end of the week or the end of the month. And that's what you've earned, all right? But because of your sin, what do you earn because of your sin? Death. That's what it says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. And if you just continue in your sin, if you continue to disobey God, you know, when it's in your nature to do that, to try and repel God, well, you know, if you just keep going in your sin, you'll just go, you know, you'll just die in your sin and you'll perish in hell forever. And that seems really strong, right? But that's the truth. And I, whatever I say tonight, it's not because I'm trying to scare people into becoming a Christian. I'm saying it because this is what it says in the Bible. And I'm saying it out of love. Because I would love, if you're not saved, to be saved. You see, in your sin, you're just spiritually bankrupt. You're just worth nothing. And that seems really extreme, but that's what it says in the Bible. See, if you have sin, like I said, you're just separated from God. So like Johnny's at the back of the room there. So to be separated, right, if I stood here for the rest of time and Johnny was at the back, we would just be separated, like forever. And that's what, if you die in your sin, you'll be separated from God. If I want to go to Johnny, I must come to him. I must go down and go down and see him. And that's what you must do with God. You must go and see God. Because it says that if you die in your sin, it says, you know, God will just cast you out. He will just cast you out. Because, you know, people think that when you die, you just, you know, that's it. Maybe some people just think you just die and that's it. But it says there, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me. See, whenever you die, even if you're a sinner, you'll have to bow down to God. And you know, if you're not saved, God will just cast you out in hell. And you will be lost forever. And that's such a serious thing, friend, if you're not a Christian, to be separated from God. Because if you're separated from God, if you die in your sin, that's just not for like 5 minutes or like for half an hour. That's like forever. Like an ever. So it's for eternity. And you'll fully realise where you are in hell. Some people think that hell is just a place where it's like a little flame and, you know, it's just another nice place, but it's sort of alright. Friend, it's not. Because it says in the Bible, it talks about Lazarus and the rich fool. And, you know, the rich fool said to Abraham, who was there, he said, you know, could he just come down and dip his finger in the water and touch my tongue? You know, he knew where he was and he was crying out for relief, just from a small tip of water, just to touch his tongue to cool. He knew exactly where he was. He could feel everything that he was experiencing. And that's what will happen if you die in your sin. You will deserve the punishment and you will be spiritually bankrupt and you will be left forever on your own. But I said at the start of the meeting, I said that God is love. And God is love. And God devised a plan, you see. Because he knew that if we were in our sin, that we could never be with him. And we would continually be separated from him. And he devised a plan. And the plan was Christ. It was Jesus Christ. And people think that in the Bible, you know, Jesus Christ just, you know, comes in sort of in the New Testament. And that's what comes in. But if you really study the Bible, right? Right from Genesis, you can see stories that resemble Christ coming. So like whenever the Passover, whenever the children of Israel had to put blood on their lintel of their door and it passed over them, that's a sign of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. Because it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I said earlier, if you die in your sin, you're lost. But if you come to Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness of your sins, well then, you can be saved. That is how you can become a Christian. Because it says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we were in our sin, born in our sin, Christ still died for us. Because you just need to come to him. Like I read at the start, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, what does that really mean? No man, us, can come to the Father, God, unless they come through Christ. You see, for you to become a Christian, for you to be a Christian, you must come to Christ. Because Christ is the only one that can take your sins away. Some people think that they can have their sins forgiven if, like I said, they go to church, or, you know, they give money to charity, if they're just a really good person, or, you know, if they do all these, go to and be a missionary and build houses for people in other countries. And all those things are brilliant. All those things are really brilliant. But they will not get you to heaven. They will not save you. Because it's only through Christ's blood can you be saved. You see, Jesus Christ, he came to earth from heaven as a babe. You know, don't make no mistake, it wasn't that Jesus Christ was a baby in heaven. He was a person, man. And he came down to earth as a babe. And he grew up, and then at the age of 30, he started his earthly ministry. So he went around speaking to people and telling them of what he was going to do, and he was, you know, healing people and all those things. But then, at the age of 33, he went to the cross and shed his blood for us and died for us. Because, like what John the Baptist said when he seen Christ coming, he said, and I love this verse, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, it's only through Christ that you can have your sins forgiven. But that's only part of the story. Christ just didn't die, and that was it. You see, on the third day, Christ rose again, the resurrection. And he defeated death, and he defeated sin, and he defeated the devil, because he was alive again. Because God is God, and God is good, and he resurrected him from that. And that's the greatest thing. Because it even says in the Bible that, you know, whenever that happened, the curtain of the temple, it rent in two. You see, back in the Old Testament, whenever they had to go and worship God, they had to go into this like temple, and then they had to go into this Holy of Holies place, and only a priest could come in and do things once a year, and etc., etc. But because that curtain was torn, it meant that we can come to Christ, us ourselves. We didn't need to come to like a priest, or to like a minister, or to like anybody. You can just go to Christ yourself, and he will take away your sin. It's only through Christ, it's only through Jesus Christ shedding his blood and dying for you, and you trusting in him, that you can ever be saved. Make no mistake about that. Because it says in Acts 4 and 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Nothing else will save you. Nothing. Not if you give money, or, as I say, maybe if your mum or dad are a Christian, maybe you think that'll get you into heaven. No. You need to come yourself. Maybe you think it's because you went to camp, or you go to church, or you go to Sunday school, that'll get you into heaven. No. None of those things. Nothing you can do in your life, like worldly-wise, can get you to heaven. You must come to Jesus Christ and trust in him. You must be reconciled with God. You see, because we have sinned, like I said, we're separated from God. And that brings us on to the fourth word, which is you. So we've talked about God, how holy he is. And we talked about us collectively, all sinners in the world. And then we talked about Christ. How if we want to get rid of our sin to come to God, we must come to Christ. But then, I come to you, friend, individually. Maybe there's ones here, and like I've said, they've trusted in the Lord, and maybe there's ones here who haven't. But it's really easy. It's easy as ABC. Because it says, ABC, accept, believe, and call. That's all you must do to be saved. Because that verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, anybody, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." Should not perish, that means that you won't die in your sin, but you'll have everlasting life in heaven with Jesus Christ, with God, forevermore. Because you see, if we receive God in our lives, if we accept in him and believe in him, he will give us rest. Maybe in your life, you know, you think life's really hard, or maybe you suffer from like anxiety, and a lot of young people do, or depression, and maybe you think that, you know, by going doing what the world does, that can help you. The only way that you can ever get rest in your life, the only way, is by coming to Jesus Christ. People think that in the world it's all about like your worldly possessions, or like what they can achieve in life, or like how many GCSEs you get, or what job you get, or how much money you earn, or what car you drive, or where you're going to live, and who you're going to marry. Yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's about coming to Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sins. Because it says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, if you come to Jesus Christ and accept that you're a sinner and believe in him and call on him, he will save you from your sins. It's quite simple. You just have to come to him and repent of your sins. You say, what does repent mean? Repent just means to turn away from where you were going, just to turn. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you just keep going the way you're going, you'll end up in a Christless eternity. But if you turn, if you repent of your sin, well then, you'll be saved. Because it says in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That means the times of refreshing, that means that whenever you go to heaven, and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift of all. That's what it really means to be a Christian. It simply means to accept that you're a sinner, believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and call out to him. You know, there's a great story in the New Testament, and it's about Paul and goes to meet this guy called Agrippa. And Agrippa loved to listen to Paul, and Paul told him all about like Jesus Christ and about being a sinner and being saved. And he really loved to hear those things. Probably a bit like what I've told you tonight, but probably much better, because it was Paul. He was one of the greatest teachers in the Bible. But it says there in Acts 26:28, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa just like reached out, but just didn't take it. He reached out and he knew that he was a sinner, and he just knew that he was supposed to be saved, and he just reached out, but he didn't get it. He didn't get in, as it was, was what you would say. He just didn't get in. He just missed out. And that is one of the most fearful things that I had in my life, is that you would just miss out on Christianity. You just miss out on being a Christian. Friend, if you're not saved, don't miss out. Don't miss out on being a Christian. Could you just think about God and how much God loves you? But how much that you're just a sinner. But that God and his love brought Christ to us. And if we just believe in him, that he will save us. Because it says in John 1, it says, what seek ye? Maybe in your life you seek all those things, those worldly things, where you live, and your car, and all these things. But those things will never save you. You'll never get to heaven that way. But you know what Christ says in the same chapter? He says, come and see. Come and see. I plead with you tonight that you'll come and see Jesus Christ. That you'll come and trust in him. Because you know what John also says in John 1:43? The same chapter, Christ said it. He said, follow me. I plead with you tonight that if you're not saved, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you will trust in him and you will come and seek him and you'll follow him. Because that's what he wants for you. He's calling out for you. He's just saying to you, come. Come tonight. Don't put it off any longer. You think, oh, I'm young. You know, this guy went to Lister for 10 years. You know, he's alright. You may not get that chance. The Lord might take you away tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe next year. And if you're not saved, you'll be lost. Because it says in Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. And that means that if you die in your sin, well, God will just say, depart from me, I never knew you. I pray tonight that you'll not be like Agrippa, but you'll come, and you'll come to Christ, and you'll follow him, and you'll accept, and you'll believe, and you'll call. That's what it means, friend, to be a Christian. Please don't put it off any longer, but trust in the name of Jesus Christ.